She's a real woman with a real life. She's someone you can relate to. Dawn Newton.
Welcome to the Dawn Newton Podcast. I am your host, Dawn Newton. Back in studio with me today is Dr. Michelle Jackson, naturopathic physician here in Bend, Oregon. Dr. Jackson joins me today for part two of our three-part series talking all things GLP-1 agonist, commonly known as Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy. Now, in part one, which you can find on my website, dawnnewton.com, Dr. Jackson did a deep dive on the GLP-1, the history, how these GLP-1s function, and the regenerative healing that they're seeing on some chronic issues. Today in part two, Dr. Jackson is going to discuss how to start a GLP-1 for weight loss to lower that glucose, how to have the discussion with your physician, how to start a peptide, the dosing, how long should you be on a GLP-1, what about the side effects? And then how do you know if it's working? And what does it mean to do your part? Well, Dr. Jackson is here to answer all these questions and much more. Dr. Michelle Jackson, thanks for joining me again. Today we're talking about the GLP-1s. We did a segment in February, and if anybody would like to revisit that, you can visit it at my website, dawnnewton.com. You'll find it on YouTube, iTunes, where we were talking about the GLP-1s, the semaglutides, and the science part of it, like how these work, the history, the things that you really don't hear a lot about in social media, in the commercials. We did quite a nice deep dive there. But this segment, we're going to talk about the actual weight loss piece, which I think people are probably like, well, tell me how to lose weight with this, or how does it work? And, you know, even that, there's a little bit of science to that. And it's not something mm-hmm. to just, I don't want to say necessarily take lightly, but you do want medical guidance when using the peptides as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I would agree the last time, and hopefully people really enjoyed it. But we did go into the nitty gritty of the science, which does help, I think, people to understand why it's helpful to have someone guiding you with using these medications, which we can talk about more today.
I think one thing too mentioning is that the history, I mean, there's quite a lengthy history of the peptides, GLP-1. I mean, it goes back a lot of years. And so it just seems like recently it's just this brand new drug that came out, this miracle weight loss drug. And that, I think that's something that if anybody's interested in utilizing a GLP-1 prescribed, that I think that segment, I think, is something that everybody should listen to and do some research on.
Yeah, it was so interesting because there was a lot that I didn't realize. I mean, I think looking back as we were talking about, they've been researching and working on finding a GLP-1 medication since like the 60s. And they really have been in use since the 90s. So it really is not a new drug. It's just become more perfected and it's in a really good form right now. And that's just why it's taken off.
Well, and also too, just a really quick nut and bolt on the GLP-1. This is a peptide. It's a protein that mimics something that our bodies actually make. But for some reason, either we've stopped making it, it's clogged, or something is going on within our maybe metabolic dysfunction that is that we're needing some help. We need this tool to help us get going again.
Yeah, exactly. So GLP-1, exactly. It is a peptide or a protein that our body makes all the time. It's made by the L cells, I believe, in our stomach, maybe stomach or upper part of large intestine. And when food passes through by these cells, GLP-1 is made. But it only lasts about 2 to 4 minutes in the body. So that's why I've had patients ask me, hey, is there a test that I could do and find out, am I deficient? Like in GLP-1 to know if this medication would work for me. Well, unfortunately there isn't, because it lasts, you know, so short-lived in the body. But what the medications are, they're pretty much this GLP-1 molecule, but then they've just been tweaked a little bit. There's been a fatty acid added on to the GLP-1, and then it becomes semaglutide or tirzepatide, and it lasts longer, up to a week in your body. So that's kind of the difference. But I often tell patients it's very similar to, like, hey, your thyroid gland stops working and you need thyroid hormone. This is probably not that much different. Like, you're making less GLP-1 for whatever reason, age, etc., and you just need more to stimulate that production again. And there is a difference. This might be a little too technical, but semaglutide or Ozempic or Wegovy, they're all semaglutide, and they're just GLP-1 agonists. Now, there's the second class of drugs called tirzepatide. It's a GLP-1, and it affects its GIP, which is glucose-dependent insulinotropic peptide. So tirzepatide is a newer form of these medications, and they're really continuing. Like, I think there's going to be a third generation of GLP-1. So they're things that are going to, I think, really are going to be around for quite a while.
So if somebody comes to you, Dr. Jackson, I would like to starting a GLP-1, which is needed, a prescription is needed,
yes,
for this. How do you start? Like, what is the, I guess, you know, of course, figuring out, well, what's going on? Why, you know, why do you want to start this? Why do you think this is right for you? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's several ways you can start this. Like, say, if someone is diabetic, you know, truly been diagnosed with as a diabetic, they can get the classic Ozempic, I know this is kind of the nitty gritty, but Ozempic is approved for diabetes. Wegovy is approved for obesity. But those medications are in these pens that you have set dosages. You can change it a little bit. You can dial them up or down somewhat, but and that's why they're so expensive. It's not the medication. It's actually the way the pens, the injection pens are made, that is patented and costs so much. But if someone is truly, you know, already been diagnosed a diabetic, or I believe if you're technically obese and have other metabolic issues, like say you've also been diagnosed with high cholesterol, et cetera, you can get approved to get these medications through your insurance, because they're quite expensive if you're going through the regular pens, the Wegovy, Ozempic. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head. I think if you're paying cash pay, it can be $1,000 to $2,000 a month. But if you go through insurance, it'll be less. Long way around that. If you have those diagnoses, you can go through your insurance. A lot of my patients maybe are not diabetic yet. They might feel like, hey, I've got like 30 pounds to lose. And for me, there's a number of other reasons why I would put people on GLP-1s also. Then I tend to have people go to a compounding pharmacy. And a compounding pharmacy makes those same medications, but we can tailor the dose. You can do much, much smaller doses of the medication, which I feel like is key, because it allows me to treat the person in front of me, an individualized person, versus like, oh, this is, you know, you started this dose and you increase the pen every 4 weeks. That's traditionally how the doctors will do it. But, you know, you need to have an intake. Like, I need to have an intake with the person, talk about what's going on with them. We always do lab work, in that these medications get broken down by the liver and the kidneys. So we have to do blood work to just make sure your liver and your kidney is functioning correctly. I mean, I like to do other blood work as well, like for thyroid function, maybe male and female hormones, just to see if they're part of what may be out of balance for a person. And even if we're doing that in conjunction with the GLP-1, it's really treating the whole person. So for me, it's a real detailed first office visit, some blood work, and then we discuss that blood work and kind of come up with a plan of how slowly we start these medications.
Is the number one complaint when patients are coming in is, I just want to get this weight off? Or is there something more to it? Because there's so many other things that the GLP-1, I mean, it's regenerative. And,
yes,
you know, the blood vessels, the immune system, the liver, the kidneys, the heart. I mean, there's so many other things that it does benefit. But is the weight loss, is that really the driving cause for most of the patients, or what you're hearing of why they want a GLP-1?
Absolutely. I mean, that is by far the number one thing. I mean, and it makes sense in that, you know, 2 out of 5 adults in America, so 41% of Americans are considered obese, and up to 94% of people have some sort of Americans can be classified as having a metabolic dysfunction. And that's a pretty, metabolic dysfunction is a pretty broad term. It could be obesity, but it also could mean high cholesterol, these diseases that can lead to diabetes and obesity. But yeah, the number one thing is people are like, hey, I just want to get, you know, this weight off, which is very helpful, but there really, really, really needs to be a lot of education about it's important to continue to build muscle, you know, while you're having the weight loss, because it really does affect your appetite, and that you're not very hungry, which is great, but you still don't want to eat junk when you do eat. It's still all about education and doing it the right way. But yes, by far, the number one thing is people are like, I want to lose some weight. But we do have some really in-depth conversations in that I've had people being able to lower some of the other medications that they've been on. This is really interesting. The number one thing that I've been seeing right off the bat with my patients who are on tirzepatide, which again is the GLP plus the GIP medication, is they feel like inflammation goes down. I can guarantee the second time I talk to someone after they're on the tirzepatide, they're like, oh yeah, I just feel less puffy or inflamed, which again goes back to one of the mechanisms which we talked about last week. It's just these medications are huge anti-inflammatory medications.
A lot of this can be healed with lifestyle, but sometimes we need that boost, and mm-hmm. making sure that the GLP-1 is looked at as a tool, not a fix. I mean, wouldn't we all just love to take a pill and make it all better? But it doesn't. Unfortunately, some of us learn it the harder way. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly. It is a tool, and it really it really is effective, because if you think about it, if you're doing all the things, like you're weightlifting and you're trying to exercise more, get enough sleep and eat well, and that's difficult enough. And I've had a lot of patients where like, oh my gosh, I'm doing all that and I'm, you know, they're still have food cravings, et cetera. Sometimes the GLP-1 agonist, because this is what they do, they really also dampen the food reward center in your brain, which has to do with this brain chemical called dopamine. And like when we eat food, we release dopamine, and you're like, oh, you know, that was rewarding, that tasted good. And what the GLP-1s do is they tend to dampen that effect. And not that you don't enjoy food, because you do, but you're just, there's not as much craving, so you're not, people aren't so food driven. So yeah, tool, like you said, it's a tool of many things in the tool bag, which just really seems to be a missing link, you know, for so many people. I mean, and the GLP-1s also, like, they do slow your digestion, so people will feel fuller longer. But with that, there's things that you have to be aware of, like you want to make sure you're hydrated, because many people will drink their fluids, their water, when they're eating food. Well, if they're not eating as much food during the day, I don't want them to become dehydrated. So that's why it's so important to work with someone who is going to tell you all these little things and walk you through it, so you don't get side effects. Everybody tends to have some side effects, but you can minimize those side effects.
Well, I think really driving the point home that you have to do your part. It still comes down to lifestyle.
It does.
And,
yeah.
And some of the side effects, because that is something that we were hearing a lot on, and even researching for these conversations we're having about the GLP-1. I've watched and listened to, I don't know if you want to call them influencers. I don't know that they necessarily have the credentials, but everybody mm-hmm. seemed to have an opinion on it. You know, the nausea, the constipation, sometimes maybe even diarrhea. Thyroid cancer kept getting mentioned.
But and this is where, Michelle, I need your expertise on this. I mean, the nausea, constipation, I can see that when they talk about if you're not eating enough, if you're not getting enough fiber, because it does slow down the digestion. So that is something to be aware of. And that's something we should be doing anyways.
Exactly. Yes. And that definitely can be a side effect. The nausea and the constipation, it's usually for people the day of their injection, maybe a little bit into the next day, but not everybody, meaning if the dose, I feel like if the dose is, if someone calls me and said, oh, I felt terrible and, you know, I have nausea, constipation, we do need to talk about how much water you've been drinking, I need to look at their diet diary, what have you been eating? If they're pretty dialed in, that tells me that dose is too high for them. It slowed down their digestion too much. And that's where the beauty of, I feel like, the compounded or the being able to do a lower dose is so important, because it's not, you know, one size fits all. I've had two patients that they're very sensitive to medications, and even at the lowest dose, they really were having some issues with hypoglycemia, so that their blood sugars were really dipping too low. And it just took a matter of bulking up the protein the day before, day of, day after of their injections. And that was enough to prevent them from really dipping low. So for me, the side effects, when it's the right dose, you don't have those nausea, constipation side effects.
The dose is what can contribute the severity of the side effects.
Yeah.
And that's the other piece too, is the dosing, where you want to start out at. I think the pens start at 0.25, but people can, I've heard microdosing, which might even be less than that.
Yeah. You know, and I was just doing a little research. I mean, I noticed that there's some practitioners who do microdosing. I mean, I know there's other practitioners like, hey, there's not a lot of, there aren't studies on the microdosing. But again, to me, it's treating the person in front of me. Like, for anything, it's not a one size fits all medication. Some of the other side effects that definitely people will hear about is like, oh, you know, you're going to lose all this muscle. Well, that really has to do with calorie restriction. If a person goes on any diet where they're not eating enough calories, you will lose muscle. It's not just because of the GLP-1 drugs. That was out in the media a lot. And it's like, no, if you dig really deeper, any low-calorie diet, that's going to happen. So once again, that's hitting how much you need to do strength training and protein. I mean, there was also the information about the thyroid cancer, and that's been interesting. So the thyroid cancer that came about was in rats. And rats is, how we study these medications before they are given to humans most of the time. The thyroid cancer that was shown, and it's been in animal studies only, the thyroid cancer, those rats were given 100 times the equivalent dose that a human would be given. So think about that. If I gave someone who had low thyroid 100 times the dose of thyroid medication that they needed, it's probably going to cause all kinds of problems. So there's been, that thyroid cancer has only been in animal studies. And so that's something that persists out there. But if you really dig into the research, that's not going on when it's used appropriately. Even at what I consider high doses is like the high end of what most doctors are prescribing. That's one thing, a side effect that's out there quite a bit. And some are like, pancreatitis, which is inflammation of the pancreas. Once again, it's not that much, or it isn't more prevalent in people using Ozempic. So for example, people with type 2 diabetes on no GLP-1, they tend to get, the average is 422 cases per 10,000 people. People with diabetes get pancreatitis. With the GLP-1s, it seems like about to 300 people per 1,000 will develop pancreatitis. So it's not higher. And people who have diabetes are already more prone to pancreatitis. So there is this information that gets out on the internet and people just kind of run with it without really looking at the data and the research.
And like you said, it's just whoever is in front of you and their story and what's going on with their body, because we can't just broad brush it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and there's a black box warning on these medications, and it talks about medullary thyroid cancer. But once again, there haven't been human cases, and that's been from those rats at 100 times the recommended dose. And medullary thyroid cancer is a common cancer in rats. So meaning, is that more prevalent just in rats anyway? So but that's why when I do the blood work before I see someone, I do run pancreatic enzyme. You can do that in the blood work. And if it looks like someone is already maybe has an inflamed pancreas, well, I'm not going to put them on the GLP-1s. Not that I totally, 100% believe that the GLP-1s are an issue and will cause pancreatitis, but you just got to be careful. Like, okay, let's treat that first and not cause a bigger issue.
How do we know if it's working? I mean, obviously there's the weight loss piece of it, if we see the scale going down, that type of thing. But what about, there's other things that are just as important as weight loss.
Yeah. So what I've been seeing, and usually weight loss is pretty quick and that low and slow. Like I mean, if I have patients that are, they come, and that's one thing I'll ask them, like, well, how much weight do you have to lose? And what do you expect to lose per month? And honestly, if you want to lose weight and not lose muscle or lose minimal muscle, it's going to be slow. Like, I don't want people losing more than 3 to 5 pounds per month. I mean, 3 to 4, I'm thrilled with, because that's weight loss that's going to stay off. But the weight tends to come off. But what other people say just over and over again is this inflammation, like whether they're feeling edema or puffiness, that improves almost right away. Patients also just will tell me their mood improves. And I know that's a side effect that was out there a little bit, like, hey, do these cause depression? Which it since sounds like the research is no, they seem to help with depression, because there are GLP-1 receptors in our brain, as we talked about with that food craving and the food chatter. But I think that they probably have other mood, dopamine, uplifting components. But I'll also see labs changing. I mean, cholesterol will come down. There's inflammation markers will come down. So how I know they're kind of working, I mean, most of the time people are wanting to lose weight. So we're seeing, the weight come off, but we'll have these other, again, inflammation markers. People will feel like, they'll feel like eating better. They'll feel like exercising and moving more.
Well, especially when you are seeing the results.
Yeah.
It seems like weight loss is the common denominator for a lot of our, if not all of our health issues. I mean, there could be other factors as well, genetic and so forth. But
yeah,
that lifestyle and the weight loss, I mean, that what it does, losing weight does to your blood pressure, to your cholesterol, to all kinds of things, those markers in our blood labs.
Yeah, so true. And I think this is, and when you were talking about, it's one of those tools in your tool bag. It really is, and I know I keep harping on this, but it is so important for my patients to exercise and keep their muscle up, because the muscle that you keep and build as you get older, that's really what keeps your blood sugar in check. Like, your muscles is what, use glucose, takes it out of your bloodstream so that you can use it for energy. So I know I keep harping on that the weight training, that's just one of those things that people need to do if they want the effects to continue long term.
Well, exactly. I mean, the strength training, just lifting heavy things, doesn't have to be a big,
right,
big old CrossFit, lift a big old tire type of thing, even though I admire those people.
But
at the same time, it's kind of like, especially longevity, you want that strength so you don't break that hip and you don't you know, all those other things as we grow older, and we are definitely living longer. So let's go for that quality of life for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. I have one test that I'll have people do sometimes is it's like, how fast can you like be on the floor and like stand up and without using your hand? So like, that's a test of like, you've got the strength to pop up off the floor, to get up and, you know, use your muscles and get up off the floor. It's such a simple thing, but it tells us like, hey, you're in an emergency. You can get up, you know, get up and move. Oh, I have this one patient. In fact, I just talked to her yesterday. She's doing a real low dose GLP-1 for weight loss, but she works a couple jobs and she, you know, she's super busy. But one of her jobs is she works at a Home Depot kind of place. And she's like, it's not part of my job, but I will offer to go out and bring in the cart because I want to use my muscles to, you know, push this big long cart in, you know, into the store. And she's like, I'm getting stronger. She's like, I can feel that I can do that more easily. So you can work the strength training in, like you said, just lifting heavy things. Like, you can work it in to your life.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to do that.
Right.
Just carrying my vacuum up and down my stairs.
And carry the dog food bag in, you know?
Exactly. And as I mentioned before, you are my physician as well. And I just want to thank you for not making me do that pop test. I'm still trying to work on the no sound effects and having to use aids to get up off the floor. But it is a goal.
That's hilarious. Uh-oh, now that you said that, you know what's going to happen the next time I see you.
Your dog, get on the floor. Let me see how fast you get up.
Let's see you pop up.
I'll be like, here, can you help me?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. But that is a goal. Definitely.
Yeah, it's that day-to-day stuff like that, right, that you're just going to have to be able to do. Yeah, like exactly. Like, are we really going to be rolling the big, you know, tires someplace? No, but you're going to be bringing the dog food in the house and the heavy groceries, and it's just staying strong, you know, strong enough to do that.
And how long are you seeing people staying on a GLP-1? Or that's also got to be case by case, and the dosage can fluctuate and be reduced and take a break from. I'm sure that's just kind of a moving target, if you will.
Even the compounding, I mean, the compounded prescriptions are not as spendy as the Ozempic, Wegovy pens, et cetera. But still, the compounding medications, even at a very low dose, will be $100, depends on your dose, you know, $100 or more per month. So I don't have a lot of patients who just need to lose, you know, like 5 pounds or something like that doing the medications. Because honestly, if you only have that much to lose, you can probably do it through, you know, diet and protein and those kind of things. So my patients that are on it usually do need to lose, you know, more weight. I haven't had anybody on it for less than 6 months. And then what I have people do after a while is then wean, which might be a conversation for next time we talk. Then you wean off of them. Like we lower the dose, and there are lifestyle natural supplements, certain probiotics that can help you make more GLP-1 on your own. So I think that's important too, is, you know, use this medication to help support your body, have more GLP-1 in the bloodstream, but we also want to help you make more. So then that's the process too, of kind of incorporating these other supplements, lifestyle, to be able to get off the GLP-1 and then slowly wean off. But I have some, you know, some patients that will probably be on the medications, I'm going to say, for the rest of their life, because I know that sounds maybe daunting and scary, but maybe on a very low dose on and off for a very long time, you know, maybe the rest of their life, et cetera. Unfortunately, like what we've done earlier in our youth, or before you get to the point where you need a GLP-1, it does affect our metabolic pathways. And there's some damage that it just can't be undone. And maybe that's where you need, you know, the GLP at a very, very low dose will be something that has to be continued. So it's so individual treatment.
Well, and also I think what's interesting is how the GLP-1, it does reduce those cravings. Like the snacking seems to kind of all but disappear. So we're not dipping into the chips and the piece of chocolate or the whatever. And sometimes even that sweet cup of diabetes that we get at our local coffee shop is, you know, and you think about money being saved there. But also on the flip side, which is really interesting, is that some of our kind of junk food companies and some of our fast food restaurants are concerned about the success of the GLP-1 and what it's doing to, because there's a lot of money to be made in obesity and health issues.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there is. I know. I've heard, listened to a couple podcasts, and I don't know if you have. I really haven't seen, like, in the grocery store, specific, like, packaged foods or, like, centered towards people who are on the GLP-1, but I've heard that some of these companies are pivoting towards that, because my understanding is, that craving for the junk food just goes way down when people are on these GLP-1. And I've heard some of these companies making some of that food are trying to pivot towards like small quantity, high density packed food that then they can make money and cater to people who are on the GLP-1. But there's still like super ultra processed foods, which I'm not a fan of. Oh yeah, there's a ton of money to be made off obesity. I mean, there's drugs for the disease, hip replacements, knee replacements. So if you want to be real cynical, there's a lot of the drug and healthcare that has to think about. Think about where their profit line.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that being healthy, becoming healthy, advocating for one's health would be weaponized against you, but it you don't have to look very far to see that it has been.
Yeah. No, definitely. It's I don't like to go down that cynical pathway, but it's true.
One thing too I wanted to touch on briefly is kids. I've heard that sometimes children are being prescribed like Ozempic or GLP-1, which I don't know. To me, that feels like, as a parent of kids, and I mean, they're adult kids now, but to me, I would think that's more of a lifestyle, more of a let's get the home cleaned up before we start administering medications to our kids.
Yeah.
Am I being a little too sanctimonious there?
Yeah, no, I agree. I also have, read the statistics at, children who are obese, I don't remember the statistics, but it's such a high percentage of those kiddos have obese parents. With, I do have to wonder, what they're learning their lifestyle on, how much they're moving and eating, from their parents. So I think sometimes that's hard for kids, because that's what they know. But in an ideal world, it would be like, let's get these kids moving more, eating better. But if they're not, that's not happening at home, that's probably, that's really difficult for these kids, because they don't know any different. But I know, I was looking at some statistics with that, like in 1971, which is the year that I was born, the obesity rate in children was 5%. And so then the latest statistics that I saw, I think it was from 2023, the obesity rate in children, it's quadrupled. Yet now 20% of children in America are obese. And again, it was 5% in 1971. So it is going up and up. And you certainly could speculate, and I do think there's some of this with highly processed foods, really took off in the 70s. But yeah, my understanding is semaglutide is approved for children 12 and older who have obesity. And, everything says, yes, it needs to be in combination with lifestyle, diet, increased physical activity. I mean, this is where my cynical brain comes in. I mean, I don't feel like adults are getting that much guidance, though, in their own like lifestyle diet changes when they're put on these medications. And then I do believe there's a study on tirzepatide, which again is the GLP-1 plus GIP, that there's some clinical trials in younger than 12-year-old kids, pediatric trials. Yeah, again, if there's some kind of chemical imbalance that the GLP-1s could be helpful for kids, I could see that. But I mean, that would be the last resort, because you're going to have to do these diet, lifestyle, increased physical activity changes for the GLP-1s to work ideally. So why not do those first in these kids? Because these are lifelong habits that are going to need to follow them.
Oh, absolutely. And I think just getting those handheld devices, getting them out from behind the screen, you know, it's going to take work on both the parent and the child's part. And I'm sure the child may not be quite so agreeable in the beginning, but there's just, you know, the food. I mean, I know we are all so busy, and sometimes, you know, something pre-made or the drive-thru or the whatever, when you're on the go, especially when you got kids in sports and you're taking them here and there. I mean, I totally get it, because we were in that boat too when our kids were younger. But it is sometimes it's just sitting back and like, okay, we need to make some adjustments here. Let's, you know, maybe three meals a week we're going to make from scratch, or we're going to get some fruits and vegetables in there and kind of start weaning it off, or, you know, just making little, some, maybe just little steps, not necessarily cold turkey, because I mean, that's a shock to the system. Just try a diet when you stop sugar all of a sudden. You're like, why do I have a headache? I felt better on sugar. Well, that's because you're detoxing. So there's just so many things. I mean, to educate yourself and consult, you know, a nutritionist, consult a Dr. Michelle Jackson, consult, and just, you know, get somebody on your side that's going to help kind of guide that process.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the key of, right, these diet modifications, that, you know, the physical activities, you know, like kids are supposed to get, you know, 60 minutes of moderate, vigorous physical exercise every day. And just last year, you know, they were saying that only 20% of kids from children from ages 6 to 17 got 60 minutes of exercise every day. And it sounded like, too, like the younger kids got more exercise. Like the older that they got, the percentage got went down. Like I think it was 12 to 17-year-old kids, you know, it was 15%. So it's even just like, yes, there's a diet aspect, but getting kids to move more, whether that's limiting screen time, which nobody likes, but even sleep. I mean, you have to get deep restorative sleep and get your body in a normal circadian rhythm for all of these processes to work. But I think that's what kids, what's difficult is kids run into, they don't always have the parental guidelines, you know, or their parents helping them make these changes.
Yeah, that role model piece. And honestly, and kids don't know, and you don't necessarily, I mean, you can try to help them understand labels and giving them the science of the ingredients, but they're kids. And sometimes that doesn't, but I think, you know, well, how do you feel? How did it feel to be outside running around? And, you know, just it's a process, and it is a lifestyle change. And it doesn't mean you can't ever have that birthday cake or whatever. That's not the point. It's about that balance, which, you know, gosh, I remember, you know, in the olden days, you know, sugar was like a treat at Christmas. It wasn't even, you know, when you look at the history and then you look at today, it's like how much sugar we eat, we don't even realize it. So I think that empowerment and knowledge is so important.
Yeah, exactly. And it would, you know, it would be great. I know there's some movements for the food that children are getting in schools to be better. Because many kids, especially in Central Oregon, I know, you know, they can get breakfast and, you know, lunch at the school at free, you know, free lunch. And no matter, I think it's really no matter what your income level is for the Ben Lapine schools, they can always get breakfast and lunch for free, I think. You know, if they got some good nutritious school, even a school food for those two meals a day, that can make a difference. So there definitely are things that can be done, but it is going to take time and lobbying, and, you know, it takes a while to get things moving.
From when you first started, when that GLP-1 and the commercials and all of that came out, which I want to say was that 2-3 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Because it was like this miracle weight loss and all the things that were being said about it. I mean, just doing the research and then where it is today, there's a lot of benefits to the GLP-1. Mm-hmm. It's not just a she drug that only Hollywood uses for the red carpet, there really is some definite true health benefits to it.
Yeah, I was a little, I feel like I used to say I was kind of slow to the game. I was referring out to some other practitioners who I knew were prescribing the medications. And then once I started diving into the literature, I was sold. I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, I really, really, not to be melodramatic, but I think it's going to be one of these medications that really does change how we practice medicine in my lifetime to an extent. Because if you look back, I still am a big proponent of treating the patient in front of me. You know, like I say this with other stuff. I might have 5 people coming in for a hormone replacement in a day. They're all going to get 5 different prescriptions because they're 5 different individuals. That's going to be the same for the GLP-1s in that you still have to treat someone on an individual basis. But for how much good and benefits that they seem to be providing, not just for weight loss, but the decreased inflammation, cravings, all of that, I think is just could be life-changing for people if they're able to incorporate these other the general lifestyle, smart lifestyle choices too.
You got to do your part. So I don't think you can stress it enough that it's a tool, not a fix. And I know how badly we want to fix, but but the fix is really, it is that lifestyle piece. And this is a tool that will help, especially with what you're seeing in the effects and people's health, overall health, whether it's weight loss, thyroid, other issues too, that they're dealing. I mean, anything in that direction is always a positive.
Yep. And again, that's exactly right. I love that. It's a tool. It's not a cure-all, or it shouldn't be looked at that way. Definitely. Because there's a lot of people that can't, you know, that also aren't going to be able to afford it, even at the less expensive compounding prescriptions, et cetera. So even though I feel like it's going to change how medicine is practiced for a lot of people, it's still sometimes going back to the basics of, like we were saying, with kids, but it also goes to adults, like moving more, making good choices, getting outside, getting enough sleep. It really sometimes goes back to those very simple things.
And it's never too late.
No, never, 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 never too late.
Well, Michelle, where can we go to get more information about you and your practice? And if somebody does want to reach out and have a consultation, where would you like us to go?
Yeah, well, I have two wonderful front desk folks. So you can always call, because everybody loves to talk to Danielle and Mackenzie because they're great. So you can call the office, which is 541-385-0775. Or my website is also a great place to go, has lots of information, as well as, you know, you can schedule appointments right on there. And that's drjacksonnd.com. I'm a naturopath, it's an ND. But yeah, they're probably the best ways to go. And I do believe that you were saying, Dawn, that you've got links to some of our past radio shows on your website, which I need to do on mine, but you've got those up.
Yep. Our previous conversations, the New Year one, just like how to those resolutions and being kind to yourself. But then also, and then in February, we talked about more of the science piece of a GLP-1, what it really does to the body and for the body, the regenerative piece of it, which I think is really important. Anytime we're introducing something into our lifestyle, into our body, you know, that education is so important. And you do such a great job in doing that and talking with patients, not at them. Again, I appreciate this and our conversations. We're going to chat next month in April, which seems so weird that we're saying that already. So we've got a couple of ideas, you know, maybe coming off of a GLP-1, what that's like when you've had maybe the weight loss and it's been successful, and then you're afraid, well, shoot, if I stop this, will I go, you know, is time going to come back and it's not going to work? Or what do we do then? So I think that's a really important part of the equation as well. And plus some other health and lifestyle advice that you have for us.
Yeah. And one last thing I definitely would say, because we are trying to do or we will be doing these talks once a month. Yeah, if patients have, or if anybody listening has some topics they want us to talk about, feel free to, you know, to email or, you know, drop us a line of something that they'd like to hear about, whether hormone replacement or anything else. I definitely would love to talk about what people are interested in.
And that's both male and female.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, again, Michelle, I really appreciate this time and this work. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. You are welcome.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dawn Newton Podcast. And a special thank you to my guest, Dr. Michelle Jackson, naturopathic physician here in Bend, Oregon, discussing all things GLP-1 agonist, also known as Ozempic. Today was part two of our three-part series, at least for now, discussing GLP-1s, doing that deep dive, how to use a GLP-1 for weight loss. Now, coming up, part three, you don't want to miss this one. Dr. Jackson's going to wrap it up by discussing how to naturally produce more GLP-1 without the GLP-1 medication. And what if you're wanting to reduce or stop the GLP-1 medication that you're currently taking? Dr. Jackson will discuss this and many other fascinating facts related to this topic. So stay tuned for part three. It'll be coming up here in the next few weeks. More information about Dr. Jackson can be found at drjacksonnd.com. And be sure and check out my website, donnewton.com. The Dawn Newton Podcast is written, produced, and hosted by Dawn Newton.